We shall overcome.
Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And my guest today is Brad Meltzer, who is out with a brand new children's book. It is I Am Harriet Tubman. It's part of Brad's Ordinary People Change the World series. It's all kinds of books for young readers out there, and they're just so fantastic. But Brad, with this particular book, you know, you've written a dozen or so of these, and more than a dozen actually. What drew you to Harriet Tubman at this particular time?
You know, it's the same thing that drew me to all of them. Years ago, I was tired of my own kids looking at reality TV show stars and people who are famous for being famous, and thinking that that's a hero. And because of the thrillers I write and the TV shows I do, I was like, I have so many better heroes from history for them. So we started with I Am Amelia Earhart and I Am Abraham Lincoln. We did I Am Rosa Parks. We did a whole series of them. For my son, I did I Am Jackie Robinson because he loves sports. And my daughter loves dogs and animals, so I did I Am Jane Goodall. My young artist, I did I Am Jim Henson, the creator of the Muppets. But when it comes to Harriet Tubman, it was the same thing for all of them, which is that it's not just the historical one, but that great moral value that I can give my child that is missing in the world today. And for Harriet Tubman, when she was a little girl, she used to be with her dad, and her dad showed her what the North Star was. And he pointed up in the sky and said, if you follow the North Star, it'll always lead you right. And he was meant it literally. Like, when you were a slave, the North Star showed you where freedom was, north. But what we use it in the book for, and it's right in her whole life, is that we, all of us, have moments where we're going to face hard decisions. And at those times, you can make the safe choice, you can make the right choice. So as it says in the book, would you put yourself at risk to help someone else? Would you stand up to someone mighty in order to help someone who's weak? To answer those questions, you have to follow your heart, which is your own North Star, and that will always point you in the right direction. And I need my daughter to hear that lesson. I need my sons to hear that lesson. That's what I Am Harriet Tubman stands for.
You talked about the heroes that you were tired of your children and other people idolizing because they're famous. I've learned in selecting heroes, you never pick a living person because they can only disappoint you. I mean, Penn State learned this with Joe Paterno. Could living people find their way into this book, or is looking back through the lens of history with a deceased person when their entire story has been finished on earth for them, is that sort of the standard for these books?
No, you're smart. I mean, I did a book called Heroes for My Son and one called Heroes for My Daughter, where we did 50 heroes, you know, all one-page versions. And right before we went to press, I mean, I literally have the proof copy. I was reading through the book and just proofing it for typos. And I said to the editor, you know, this guy here, I guess have a bad feeling. Let's take him out. And the story hadn't broken yet. I just had a bad feeling. And it was this guy named Lance Armstrong. And, you know, when you pick someone living, no matter how good they are, you know, like the rest of us, they're going to screw up. They risk screwing up. And so my one rule is you got to pick the impeachable people. And you got to, you know, I hate to say it, but you pick the ones that aren't going to screw up as much, which is someone who's older and more trustworthy than a young kid. So we did our first living hero. We did I Am Jane Goodall. And, you know, my daughter loves, as I said, loves our dog, loves animals. And I wanted my daughter to have a good scientist, a female scientist, as a good role model. And what was so great is when we did I Am Jane Goodall, I mean, here's Jane Goodall who changed, you know, how we study animals and you know, makes everyone tells her she can't be a scientist. And she says, no, watch this. And I want my daughter to hear that lesson, too, to have that strength. And we went to Jane Goodall to proof the book for us. Because, you know, if I mess up I Am George Washington, George Washington is not coming to get me. But I mess up Jane Goodall, and you know, they're going to be chimpanzees at my front door banging on it, right? I mean, this is no joke. And, you know, her staff reads it, and they all approve, and they make some edits and some things, and everyone goes up the ladder, finally gets to Jane Goodall. And Jane Goodall comes back with one comment that she says, you know, can you change that picture that you drew? Because these are all illustrated children's books. They have an illustration that looks like almost like Charlie Brown meets Calvin and Hobbes. Very lovable. That's why kids love these books, is because they're really, you know, beautiful to look at. And she said, you have a dog in pajamas. Can you change that picture? And because she used to dress when she was little, her dog in pajamas. And I said, well, didn't that happen? And she said, yeah, that absolutely did happen. But if you put a dog in pajamas, then all these kids around the country are going to start dressing up their animals, and it's not really good for the animals. And I loved that here we are all these years later. She's, you know, something like 80 years old, and she's still perfectly on message even more than her staff is. And it was just proof to me that we picked the right person, that I Am Jane Goodall was the right one.
With the Harriet Tubman book, it's got to be tricky writing a book that deals with slavery that's meant for children. How do you balance the telling the story in a factual way but not scaring children about the horrific events of that time period?
No, you're right. I mean, when the first two books we did, one of them was I Am Abraham Lincoln. And the editor said to me at the time, are we really going to do slavery? And I was like, yes, we're doing slavery. That's what Abraham Lincoln, you know, if we just sanitize history, it's not history. It just becomes myth. And when we did I Am Harriet Tubman, you're absolutely right. We had to, you know, really, really be sensitive to this issue because it's terrifying, right? I mean, that you're chained up, that someone's hitting you, that someone, you know, these are like for a little kid. And in our books, we do our best when, you know, people buy them as baby gifts and they build libraries for newborns. But we have, you know, from kindergarten, first grade, our sweet spot is second, third, fourth grade. These are young kids. And the one thing I've learned over and over, this is now our 14th book in the series, is that kids are far stronger than you think. And when we were dealing, when we did, I learned this right in the beginning. The third book we did was I Am Rosa Parks. And a friend of mine is white, and he has an adopted daughter who's African-American. And she was really little at the time, and they read I Am Rosa Parks together. And they're finished reading the book, and they get to the last page. Now, the last page of our illustrated children's books always have real photographs of the hero in the book. So she sees, turns the last page, and there's a real picture of Rosa Parks. And his daughter says to him, wait, this really happened. This really happened. And in that moment, he said, he realized that even though he's white and she's African-American, like they had, he said, for the first time, I was suddenly having my first real conversation about race. One of the scariest things for a parent or grandparent is, you know, talk about with their kids. But his daughter fully handled it. And so we, of course, just, you know, we dealt with it sensibly. And we said, in fact, I'll read you the line from the book. And it says, yes, it says, this is scary, right? Like, that's the key thing, is you have to acknowledge what this stuff is. And it says, I know it's scary, but by hearing my story, I hope you'll find strength you never knew you had. And she says, that's what happened when I was 7 years old. And we tell the story when she was 7 years old and what happened to her. And those messages kids get. And they also get, you know, when Harriet Tubman decides to finally escape. I mean, they're going to split her family up again. She's like, we got to get out of here. We can't let them sell me again. And her brothers plan their escape. And what is, you know, is so vital is the brothers, her brothers, are the ones who actually get scared and go back. They give up. It's Harriet Tubman, the young girl, who is the one who actually leaves. And when she leaves, she's done. She has what every enslaved person wants, freedom. Get the job, she can go live her life, and that's fine. That's all she needs to do. But instead, she looks back and says, wait, there are other people who need help too. And my God, when you look at the world we live in today, that is the message I need my kids to learn, is that when things are going well for you, don't just think of yourself, but look back and say, who else can I help along the way? And kids get that. They get that at every level. Even if slavery is a hard subject, they get that moral message.
My guest is Brad Meltzer. We're talking about his brand new book for children, I Am Harriet Tubman. It's part of the Ordinary People Change the World series. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold, and they're great books for young readers. Brad, you're used to writing, well, you do write political thrillers that we've all come to love over the years. How difficult is it to tighten up your writing when you don't have 300 pages to tell someone's life story? You've got, you know, 30 or 40 pages. How difficult is that to shrink your writing down to cover that lifespan? Because I've got to think it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, listen, you know, as you said, I write thrillers where I'm, you know, I spend half my day writing for children and then the other half of the day writing thrillers and murdering people, right? So you have to kind of turn different parts of your brain on and off. And you know what? The one thing I believe is a good story is a good story. That's what you need. And you got to find the character at the heart of that story. So, you know, when I'm writing Harriet Tubman, obviously I have to condense and I just got to be crisp about it. But that's what I want to be in every chapter of every novel. You know, the new novel that comes out in 2 weeks is called The Escape Artist, right? I have 400 pages tell you what the story is, but I can tell you here it is. Ready? It opens with Nola. Nola's dead. The government says she's dead, and her body comes to Zig, who works putting to rest the government's most top secret spies and secret agents. That's his job, and he really wants to take care of Nola's body when it comes in because he knows Nola when she's a little girl. She he actually was friends with his daughter, and they were Girl Scouts together. And he remembers one time there was a campfire accident. The top part of Nola's ear actually got cut off. It got frayed. And so here comes the body. He rolls down the white sheet, and he looks down at this woman he wants to take care of, but he sees that the ear is intact. Confused, he runs fingerprints, and he realizes this isn't Nola. And as he opens up the body, he sees a note inside, and the note says, "Nola, you were right. Keep running." That is chapter one of The Escape Artist. I told you it as succinctly, as crisply as I can, and I try to bring that exact same skill to a kid's book. You know, people don't want the fat. They want the facts, and you got to give them it as quickly as you can. So kids are no different than adults. They want the story to move fast, and they want it to roll, and I hope that that one skill helps in the other.
When you write a children's book, you're collaborating with an illustrator, as you do on all of these. And how does that work? Does the words come first and then the pictures are put together? Or how does that process come about?
Yeah, so when I write, you know, a thriller like The Escape Artist, I have one palette to paint with, words. But when I write a kid's book like I Am Harriet Tubman, I have words, and then the other palette, of course, is pictures. So I actually write an entire script, but I tell the artist what to draw. So I literally say on panel one, I want to see Harriet Tubman looking strong. I want her hand out reaching toward us like she's saying, "Follow me." And I'll physically describe the page. I'll say, put the camera on the ground so we have a worm's eye view looking up there, so she's so imposing and powerful we feel all of her strength. And I truly paint the picture with my words for what the artist is going to then use his palette to paint with, literally. It's just an incredibly collaborative process. And I think, you know, the secret weapon for us is the artist. Chris Eliopoulos is our artist, and as I mentioned, has an art style that's just lovable. People love it, and I want my kids off their phones. I want them off their computers and their devices, but the only way we can do that, I realize, is if you give them something better to look at. And because Chris's art, as I said, resembles Charlie Brown and Calvin and Hobbes mixed together, because he was influenced by them growing up as a cartoonist, he just draws these really lovable characters that kids love. So, you know, one of my favorite letters we get came, you know, one of the first Halloweens, and it said, "Dear Brad, thanks. My daughter did not go as a princess for Halloween this year. Thanks to your book, she went as Amelia Earhart." And I love that kids have taken to these books and taken to the art so much they're dressing up as them for Halloween costumes. In fact, I just put pictures today on Instagram and Twitter that show, you know, more kids just dressing up for no reason, but they just, you know, suddenly like Abraham Lincoln and Jackie Robinson and Rosa Parks and Amelia Earhart. I love that we're getting to bring that message to kids and bring those values back again, because we need them so desperately now.
Speaking of Amelia Earhart, I know there's a proposal for a Lego set regarding her playing the canary. Can you kind of explain what the whole plan is behind that?
So you know what? I love you for this. So Lego has a rule that if you get 10,000, you can propose a project of whatever you want. So they did this with the Ghostbusters one. They did this with the Big Bang Theory. They did this with all the Legos of, you know, the girls of NASA. And what Lego's rule is if you can get 10,000 votes, then they will consider making the Lego project. So we did Lego Amelia Earhart. You know, and I love, let's make no mistake, I love my Lego Batman that we buy for my kids and the Star Wars and all the other Lego stuff. But I was like, I want my daughter to have, and my sons, to have a great real hero to play with. I want them to have a Lego Amelia Earhart. So we made, with one of the Lego Master Builders, a Lego Amelia Earhart with her plane, the Yellow Canary, the biplane. We now have 8,100 votes. We have 60 days to go to get the last 2,000 votes. All you have to do is put in the words Lego Amelia Earhart into Google. The first page that comes up is ours. Go there and just vote. It takes 1 minute to register, truly 1 minute. But we need 2,000 more votes to get it done. And if we can get to that 10,000, I'd love if we can bring a Lego Amelia Earhart to the whole world.
That's just so cool how this series has really, really taken off and become just a thing of its own. This latest is I Am Harriet Tubman by Brad Meltzer. It's illustrated by Chris Eliopoulos. And the book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Pick it up, read it to your kids. It gets them off the phones and away from those stupid gaming devices, you know. Gets them thinking about stuff. Brad, just a fantastic offering here, as always. Thanks for putting this out for people to learn from, and thanks for joining us today.
No, thank you. And let me just say thank you to all the readers out there. You know, it's great when people say, "Oh, I am Harriet Tubman," or "I am Amelia Earhart." But what I love is that people are just buying whole chunks of the books at once. And they're, you know, our goal has never been one book. It's to help you build a library of real heroes for your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. So thank you to everyone who's doing that. And thank you to you for bringing these values out there.
All right, it's our pleasure. Take care, Brad.
Okay, take care.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
We shall.